Today, as we have come to worship God in His house of prayer, and we have come to remember the death, resurrection, and also the second coming of the Lord Jesus, I would like to encourage all of us to focus on the theme of the faithfulness of God, that God is always the same. He is totally dependable and totally reliable. We live in a world of broken promises and shattered dreams. That's why the administration is working very hard to restore the economy. That's why we hear from time to time bomb goes off in Afghanistan, in other parts of the world, because we have seen all too often men would pledge peace with one another, but they would conspire to make plans for war. And this is also why we see from time to time in some countries, people erect their own governments and people topple their own governments, because the reality of life is that way too often, ours is a world of broken promises and shattered dreams. Who can you turn to? Who can you count on and rely on? I'd like to invite you to go back to the scriptures, back to the person who gives us the word of God, to the Lord Jesus, God himself. If you turn to the pages of the scriptures, you will find that many prophets, including prophet Jeremiah, understand broken promises all too well. Jeremiah, for instance, knew that human beings are sinners and human beings cannot be trusted completely or totally. When Jeremiah was writing the book of Lamentations, he wrote two books. One is a long book, the lengthy book of Jeremiah. The other one is just a short book called Lamentations. When Jeremiah was writing this shorter book of Lamentations, he was actually going through a very, very tough time. His world and his environment and his countries were surrounded with broken promises. For instance, King Nebuchadnezzar, the king who was supposed to lead them, was not able to fulfill his promises of good spiritual leadership. Instead, he has led the country into ruin. And on the other hand, the enemies of Israel were plotting from time to time against the Israelites. But what is worse, the Israel, the people of God, were also indicted by God from time to time for having turned against God on too many occasions. So Jeremiah knew that for his country, in his world, all the time he was faced with broken promises and shattered dreams. He knew that God was mad. God was angry at the people of God for breaking God's heart time and again. So if you look at the first few verses of Lamentations chapter 3, we don't have time to look at, you know, the beginning of Lamentations chapter 3, but I would encourage you, you know, when you go home, especially when you're enjoying the snow this evening, you know, sit down, maybe by the fireside or by the window, you know, and then fish out the Bible and turn to Lamentation and read for yourself the graphic depictions of God's punishment. Jeremiah used very, very, you know, graphic language to describe how God and why God was mad at his people, because time and again they have turned against God. They have broken their relationship with God. They have forgotten the promises they made with God. For instance, if you turn to the first few verses, verse 2, one of the results for turning against God, for leaving God behind, is that, you know, they have started to feel God's absence. Jeremiah and his people felt the loneliness of darkness, like one walking in total darkness, no light whatsoever, and you do not know which way you are going. And also they felt that they were living in the land of darkness, like, you know, in the land of the living dead. In verse 3, they knew that God was against them, and it is not a pretty feeling. Verse 10 or verse 5, they can find no release or no solution. They do not know how to cope with the pain and the anguish they were feeling. Verse 7, they felt that, you know, ask them how to describe, they feel that, you know, they were completely walled in. There's no escape. Not only that, they felt that, you know, they were chained, you know, weighed down, so much so that even if the door were open, they were not able to move an inch. And then you go on to verse 8, their prayers were unanswered. Verse 10, they felt that, you know, In everything, they had no God's blessing whatsoever. And on the contrary, they felt that, you know, God was like a bear lying in wait, or like a lion ready to pounce on his prey. And then verses 12 and 13, they felt that the situation was so hopeless, so bleak, that you cannot trust anyone. And it seems that you can't even trust God also. Why? Because they felt that it was as if God has already drawn his bow and arrow. And God was aiming at his very own people who had betrayed him. So Jeremiah knew what suffering is like. Jeremiah has experienced a lot of pain and agony. Very often, even as believers, we experience many of the same things, and sometimes, like Jeremiah, we wonder privately if God is really there, if God is really dependable or faithful. We may, at times like Jeremiah, feel that God might be mad at us, or we know that God is mad at us. We may, at times like Jeremiah, feel that we are in the dark. We may feel that God is against us. We may have pain, mental pain, and physical anguish. We may find no release whatsoever. We may find that we will pray day and night, even with the most sincere of hearts, but we find that somehow our prayers are not being answered, at least not in the way we expect them to. We find that sometimes, you know, adding to our anguish, people don't understand us. We are about to give up. Our hope is gone. Jeremiah understood all that. But notice that in the midst of all these verses building up to verse 21 and verse 22, Jeremiah, besides thinking and experiencing his frustration, his trial, and his pain, he forced himself to do one thing. In verse 21, he said, "Yet this I recall to mind. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope." Brothers and sisters, in the journey of faith, it is okay to be honest with God and express our feelings towards God like Jeremiah did. But look at Jeremiah. He did not stay there. It is not an easy thing to do. Rather, Jeremiah was open with God about how he felt, but Jeremiah also did one other thing. He forced himself to think about the character of God. Especially, he forced himself to think about God's faithfulness, God's unchangeableness. Here's how it works. If Jeremiah had just focused on those things that were filling his mind, he was going to be bummed out. But in order to break the vicious cycle, Jeremiah forced himself to think about something else about God. Verse 21, "Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope." Jeremiah may have remembered a time when God showed his grace and mercy to him. Maybe, you know, at some point in time, he recalled a certain verse or a certain passage, and God spoke to him through that verse or passage. And therefore, Jeremiah forced himself to think, not about his blues, not about his pain, but about the faithfulness of God. And this is where our text for today comes in. Verse 22. "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him." You know, God could have and should have destroyed those who rebelled against him. God could have, because he is God, and God should have, because we are sinners. But the point Jeremiah is making in verse 22 is that God did not. God did not destroy sinners who turn against him. And the reason why God didn't destroy sinners is because of his great love, his great loving kindness towards them. I want you to notice in verse 22 the word compassion. First of all, it tells us, and I apologize that there is not enough room to put the Chinese on. First of all, it tells us that, you know, God's compassions never runs out. It never fails. It never fails. You may not be able to feel it, but it is always there. And more importantly, the second thing to notice about God's compassion is that the word is plural. And that is a little bit unusual in English. In fact, you know, if you type it for the very first time in your computer and you use the computer grammar check, you would find that the computer has a little bit of a difficulty recognizing and accept this word compassions. It would suggest, you know, that you use a singular word compassion instead. But here in Lamentations chapter 3, what Jeremiah wants to underscore is that God's compassion is intense. It is limitless. There is no end to it. How much water do you need to water a pot of plant? Maybe it depends. Half a glass or a glass. Or maybe if the pot is big enough, you know, perhaps two glasses. Now imagine that you are watering a pot of plants. And imagine that you have all the waters in the Potomac River for you to use. Definitely, you don't need that much water. But that is how intense and how limitless God's mercies and God's compassions really are. You know, we cannot imagine with our finite mind how compassionate God actually is. The river of mercies run fully and constantly. They never run dry. In fact, the word compassion in the Old and the New Testaments, you know, show us the gentle side of God. Show us that God is a God of concern and God is a God of care. The word actually means, you know, to be moved, to be stirred in the heart or inside out of love for someone else. So when we say that God is compassionate towards his people, we are saying that, you know, God feels for his people. Inside the heart of God, something is stirring God. Something is making God take pity, take sympathy on his people. When God looks at us, you know, God feels something very deep and very strong about us because he knows that we are his people. So Jeremiah is telling us that, you know, when God looks at us, God feels compassion. God feels about us in a very strong, personal, emotional, and in a very loving manner. God's mercies and loves are new every day because God's faithfulness is great. Therefore, Jeremiah said, we can trust God no matter how we may be feeling because God is good to those who trust him, to those who are looking for him. We know that this passage, and I would encourage you to commit it to memorization. We know this passage talk about the compassions of God, how God's love never runs dry. But how do we apply the truth of God's compassions to our life? I want to suggest a number of lessons in our journey of faith. For one, when you are discouraged, remember God's faithfulness. Remember God's faithfulness. You probably are quite familiar with the story of David and Goliath. You may not know where it is in the Old Testament. It is in 1 Samuel chapter 17. You probably know that you know how the story actually began and how it ended. Basically, you know, young boy David, when he was asked by Saul how he could kill and overcome the giant Goliath, young David replied, and he talked about God's faithfulness. David was telling Saul how he remembered God's faithfulness during his, you know, days as a shepherd, and that there were incidents when God rescued him from the paw of the bear and also from other animals. And because God has rescued him, because God has shown his power in the past and because God has shown his faithfulness to David in the past, therefore, David said he could count on God. He could count on God to deliver him again. In fact, in verse 33 of the same chapter, David says, God who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of Goliath. So therefore, having told Saul how he felt about God, even though he was a little boy, David picked up 5 stones. And he went out and he killed Goliath because Goliath had challenged God. The reason why David was able to go out and fight Goliath was because he has experienced God's power and compassion and faithfulness in the past. Therefore, now he can trust God and he can trust God for the future based upon what God has done for him. David knew that God would deliver him in this situation because God has already done so many times for him in the past. When you are discouraged, do what David did. Remember God's faithfulness in the past. Sometimes it may help to remember one of the promises from the scriptures. Sometimes maybe like David did, you know, remember an incident or incidents when God actually has helped you. Maybe remember a time when God answered a very special prayer that you offered to him. Remember how God has helped you. Remember how God has looked upon you in the past. Remember the mighty work of God. And consider who it is, the Lord of heaven and universe, who is fighting for you. Then, like David did, pick up 5 small stones and get ready to defeat the giant facing you. So this is lesson number 1. When you are discouraged, remember God's faithfulness. Number 2, when you doubt your salvation, when we tend to question our salvation, remember God's faithfulness. Many believers secretly doubt their salvation because sometimes they feel that they are not good enough believers to know God, to get into the kingdom of God. But we forget that sometimes getting into the kingdom of God or knowing God or being accepted by God has nothing to do with whether we are good enough or not. The Bible says that we are right. No one is ever good enough because we are all sinners in the eyes of God. And if you turn to John chapter 10, verse 28, Jesus has this to say. Jesus says, I give them eternal life. I give them eternal life. Jesus tells us that he is the one who can make us right with God. He is the one who can offer us salvation. He is the one who can make sure that our names are written in the book of life. Not because of what we do for him. Not because we are good enough. So if you ever doubt your salvation, especially when you're going through a very rough time, do not listen all the time to your feelings or to your situations, but listen to what the Word of God has said. Listen to the promises of Jesus Christ. If you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior and you know that you have received him as your personal Lord and Savior, trust God's faithfulness to deliver you, to walk with you. I ran across this encouraging statement just this week. It says that God not only keep his promises, God not only keep his promises, he also keep his people. God keep his promises and God also keep his people. Just when you are about to doubt your salvation, God tells you that he has never forgotten you. So when we tend to doubt our salvation, doubt our relationship with God, remember God's faithfulness. Number 3, when we have made a mess of our life, remember God's faithfulness. You probably can remember what John told his early believers in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, and he will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. John says here very clearly, he is, God is faithful. God is faithful. As long as we come before God, God will accept us. If you feel that you have made a mess of your life, if you feel that you are ashamed if others knew what you have said, done, or thought in the last 3 days or 3 weeks or 20 years, then it is time to come back to God. And we can trust God who knows every thought and every action of our lives. And if we come before him honestly, we know that God will forgive us. We do not have to worry about God not being there when we turn to him, because God is like the waiting father, willing to forgive, willing to restore. We do not have to worry about whether we have sinned way so much that God would not be able to forgive us, because God says no matter how much we have sinned and fallen short of his glory, he would always be able and have more than enough power to make us right with him. All we have to do is that as long as we come before God with a tender and open heart, confess our sins, and ask him to help us to live for him, we know that he will not reject us. As in the words of the psalmist, King David, in Psalm 51, "A broken and contrite heart, O Lord, you will never despise." So if you are bothered by your faults, your fears, your failures, or your foolish ways, bring them to the Lord and trust God, who is faithful to forgive us and restore us. And number four, we have one more lesson. When you feel unequal to your task, remember God's promises. Remember that he is faithful. Consider Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for God who promised is faithful." And these are words of encouragement. I can empathize with this lesson from time to time. Some of you probably know that, you know, the Sunday before Christmas last year, we started a new small group, a new fellowship called the Restaurant Ministry Fellowship. It is for those people who work in a restaurant who cannot make it to the church at all, because some of them work, every day except maybe Monday or Tuesday. And they live far away. They have no way of making it to the church. And some of them even, are not sure where to find a Chinese church to worship and fellowship in. So as a result, we started a meeting there. We started a fellowship. And we meet every Sunday at 11 o'clock in the evening. We have a few people, and we've been meeting. We have a few people to work together. I tell you that in the beginning, I'm very happy about this. I hope that we can have many more such groups meeting, throughout the tri-state area. But I have to confess to you that, in the beginning, even though I was very excited, I was a little bit concerned, maybe even hesitant about how much I can be involved myself. I want to be there. I want to do whatever little I could help. But to be honest, I know that it is going to take a bit of a change as far as my regular late Sunday schedule is concerned. Not many people know, but usually on a Sunday afternoon when I go home after a series of meetings or something like that, I may get home about 3, sometimes 4, or maybe even after 5. And then if I do not have any other meetings or functions in the evening, I would usually make sure that, the first thing I do, entering about my apartment, is change into something comfortable. And then, snack a little or something like that. And usually if I have time, by about 6 o'clock or 6:30, you would find me in bed already. I would sleep the whole evening until, Monday morning. That's how a lot of times, if I could have my way, I would spend my Sunday evenings. So here's a problem, There is this fellowship Sunday night at 11 o'clock. And I would love to be able to be in bed by, say, at the latest 7 p.m. on Sunday evening. Do I have the energy? What happened if, I don't have enough energy or whatever? So I wasn't quite sure. But I can tell you that according to this principle, when we feel unequal to our task, remember God's faithfulness. So far, God has given us energy, and God has given us, an expectation, something to look forward to on Sunday night. I don't have to take a nap between 5 and 9 o'clock. I find that, you know, I can get there together with other people, and then we can finish everything. And usually by the time we are done, get home, it probably is like 1 or 1:30. And that is the best time to sleep. The point is that, you know, when you have something that God wants you to do, you may have obstacles, you may have concerns, but remember that God is faithful. When you feel unequal to your task, remember God's faithfulness. It is not easy to be a believer for the Lord Jesus in today's world. Sometimes people ask, how can Christians continue to believe in a God of peace and love surrounded by so much injustice and suffering? How can you keep saying that Jesus is Savior and Lord when you still have doubts about your faith, when you are concerned and when you are fearful? It is not easy. Believers have more than their fair share of doubt, questions, and suffering and pain. And sometimes they have even a little bit more because of the spiritual nature of the battle that we are fighting. But remember, even as Jeremiah was going through all this, and he can say that, I can tell you many, many examples with graphic details what we were experiencing. And yet in verse 21, he says, this I will remember, and therefore I will continue to hope and trust in God. Why? Our text for today, beginning at verse 22, because of God's loving kindness, because of God's compassions, because of God's faithfulness. They are limitless, and we can always count on God to lead us, to protect, and also to meet our needs, and also to comfort and use us to encourage other people. So today, as we come before God individually and together, especially when we remember, you know, the Lord's Supper, let us come with a heart filled with thanksgiving, and let us ask God to put his faithfulness to work where we need it most. It may be a relationship we're struggling with. It may be uncertainty about our work. It may be our family. It may be health. Whatever it is, God is saying that, I know. I am faithful, and I will undertake it on your behalf. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you have shown us so clearly, so well, that the cross is the best symbol of your faithfulness. We thank you, O Lord, that when we were yet sinners, when we did not know who you are and had no relationship with you, you were faithful enough to send Jesus to die for us on the cross. You were faithful enough to send Jesus into the world to show us what real love and forgiveness looks like. We thank you, Father God, that your compassions are limitless. We thank you, O Lord, that your loving kindness is trustworthy and reliable. We thank you, O Lord, that no matter what we may be going through today or maybe tomorrow, Father, we can learn to trust in you. Thank you, O Lord, that even though the journey of faith is not easy, but yet, Father, you have more than enough power and promises to renew us, to protect us, and to undertake for us. So we come before you confessing that our faith in you oftentimes is so broken, so shallow, so small. So forgive us, O Lord, and increase that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Make us, Father God, believers who have a new bonus, bonus because of who you are and bonus because you are fighting on our behalf. Make us, Father God, into a people who are filled with faith and joy of Jesus. Father, we come before you lifting up brothers and sisters, those we know, those we heard about, or even, Father God, brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, wherever they may be. People who are pressured, people who are going through difficult times. It may be health, it may be other reasons. But we pray, O Lord, that you will lift up their spirit by the power of your Holy Spirit so that they can experience the joy that comes from you. So that, Father God, they know that even though they are hard-pressed on all sides, yet from within, because of Jesus, there is a new power to cope. Father, we pray for you to fill this church, this body of Christ, to fill our family with your joy, with your strength. Lord, we commit to you the unreached people. We commit to you our missionaries. We commit to you our students, whether they are studying here or elsewhere. We commit to you, Father God, the body of Christ. And we pray, O Lord, that as your people, cause us to know what wonderful, faithful God we have, and cause us, Father God, to be faithful to you, even though we may only be able to take a quarter step at a time. Father, we pray for the Lord Jesus to help us always remember that he is our faithful Redeemer and Savior. And it is in his name we pray. Amen. As we come to celebrate the faithfulness of God through Jesus Christ, let us prepare our hearts to meet the Lord in the form of Holy Communion. I would invite you to join us in hymn number 121, Beneath the Cross of Jesus. And as we sing this song, may God return us to the cross, where we see the Savior dying for us, for the whole world, and where we see the Savior asking us to trust him because he is faithful.